So when I was in seminary, one of my professors had a sign on his office window that said, "Jesus is coming. Look busy." I was reminded of that as I was reading, reflecting, praying with that second reading from the letter to the Hebrews, where Jesus is coming back. He's coming not to save us from our sins, but to bring salvation to those who are eagerly awaiting. So are we eagerly awaiting the second coming of Jesus? Another question, are we ready to die? If Jesus comes, will he find you eagerly awaiting his coming? And how can you say yes to that question? What proof do you have for yourself that your answer to that question is yes, I'm ready, I'm eagerly waiting? The scriptures today give us these images of these two widows. And at the time of Jesus, in the time of the Old Testament, the widow was perhaps the most vulnerable person in society. Long before any social security net of society, a widow was at the complete mercy of society. A woman couldn't have a job. A woman could not inherit property. So if a woman's husband died, and if she had no sons, she was very near the bottom of society. And so these two women who are at their ends. The woman from the first reading knows that she's about to die. She has one meal left. The woman in the gospel has two coins left. And both of these women show us what it means to have faith. Have faith is not just an intellectual assent to an event that happened 2,000 years ago. Yes, we must have an intellectual assent to the faith, to the doctrine, to the dogmas, to the liturgical praxis. We have to believe intellectually. But our lives must reflect that choice. There must be some type of visible evidence that shows that we believe. What St. James says, that faith without works is dead. It's not that the works make us have faith or the works earn us faith, but it's a natural outpouring of the faith that we have, is that we respond in a faith-filled way. So what are the works in your life that prove that you are completely, totally reliant on the providence of Christ? Because that's what these two women showed us. Even the woman in the Old Testament who was a Gentile, outside of the promise, was able to recognize the truth when it came to her. Jesus says, "Beware of the scribes. They do all these things for show, but he could read their heart." So he knew their hearts were far from the truth. It's easy for us to fall into that same trap of the external practices of our faith, the external practices of charity. You know, we barely make it to Mass and we leave as soon as we can. We hurriedly make a genuflection and we barely make a sign of the cross. We vote for what's expedient for my own life and not according to the gospel principles and the teachings of the church. We put stickers on our car, or we wear shirts that make us fit in with the world. Do our lives really show forth that we believe in Jesus Christ, that the letter Hebrews says died and lived to make intercession for you? That the reason why you have access to the Father, the reason why your life makes sense, is because Jesus died for you. And that he rose to the Father's throne and he sits there making intercession for you. And this is what gives your life meaning and purpose and direction. Do our lives show this? Are we willing to give our last two coins? Or are we like the rich people who give large sums because it makes a lot of noise and it gives us a lot of affirmation? And that's what happened. There were these little trumpet kind of canisters where they would throw their money in. So the more money you threw in, the louder the sound was. So everyone would know how big your donation was. And this poor old widow put her two coins that barely made any sound. And that was the one where Christ said is our model. It wasn't the amount. It was the intention. What is the intention of your heart? What motivates you? What drives you? What helps you make your decisions each day? Is it the unsurpassing knowledge that Christ has died for you and He lives for you? And He left us the Catholic Church with her teachings and her sacraments that get us to heaven. And that only by being faithful to Jesus and being faithful to the church and being faithful to her teachings are we guaranteed our salvation. Does our life show forth that? Or is our life just for show for the world so that we can look good? It's a trap we all have to guard against, some more than others. And this is why Christ is so insistent on this. These are the last words Christ says in the temple area before He leaves. We're at the end of Mark's gospel. His crucifixion, His passion is so close. He's not holding anything back. And He's telling the crowds, beware of the scribes and the Pharisees. Then he calls His closest ones to Him to show them the way to the truth. Through our baptism, we become those closest ones. And so we have access to the heart of the Father. By accepting our poverty, by accepting that the fact that we're no better than the widows in the gospel, that we really are vulnerable, that we really have nothing, that it's only Christ in us that gives us value and purpose. That Christ has died for you, and He lives for you, and He's living and interceding for you. That's what gives your life's meaning and purpose. It takes an active, conscious decision each day to die to the world and to live for Jesus. Are you ready for that? Are you teaching your children that? Are you sold out for Jesus? Or is this just something that we do on Sunday because we have to? Allow the Lord access to the depths of your heart, to the poverty of what you truly are. Be comfortable in your poverty, because it's in your poverty that Christ can come to you and truly make you rich. It's in your poverty that Christ comes to you and gives your life meaning and purpose. Jesus is coming to bring salvation to those who are eagerly anticipating. Is that true for you? Are you ready to die?